Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as...
Such as Isabella from Encanto. I'm sorry, but her entire storyline revolved around her finding her, like, personal freedom outside of men. And to me, there's nothing gayer than that. And she didn't seem particularly interested in any men at all. So either, you know, shout out to the ace community or, you know, shout out to Isabella being part of the queer community. Because I have to stand. She did not care at all.
Yeah, that gave me very much like getting married for the family, not because it's what I want vibes. And relatable.
Yes.
Yeah, shout out.
Oh my God, Maite, is there some like engagements we don't know about on your end?
No.
You're like relatable. I didn't have to marry the man from the other village. Like,
thank God my parents immigrated. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? Was good. It's like a whole new ass year.
Yeah. What a year already, may I say.
Oh, God.
What a, for us, 11 days. Quite something.
Yeah, I feel like I've been sick since, like, the start of the year. And this is, like, I got tested twice. I'm negative, y'all. But,
really?
I did have to wait in line. Yeah, dude. I waited in line, like, America's whack and I hate everything about what's happening. Texas is ridiculous, dude. I waited 6 hours to get tested and then I like had left my dog too long, so I just left. But I returned like 2 days later and it only took like 2 hours, and that was nothing to me by then. You know, I was like, wow, only 2 hours of wasting my life? Like, this is fine.
Redonk, bro. I can't with that whole business.
I could have watched Encanto like 3 times while I was in line the first time.
Right.
Maybe more at that point. So that was nuts.
Jeez. But you were sick.
I was sick. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I had the flu. You know, like, it was bad, dude. I had like body aches. Like, I didn't have any fever, though. So I'm really shout out to Jesus. You know, shout out to God or whatever. But yeah, I didn't have like a fever. I was just like, I felt like trash. Like, I had no energy, and I don't know what it was, because it felt exactly the way it did when I got my boosty, where I didn't have like any energy. I just like stayed in the same spot for an entire day. That was like me sick. So I was just like, I don't know what I got, but this ain't normal. So and I'm still like have a stuffy nose, so I apologize to the listeners. I have a runny nose still, and this is after I blow my nose. Yeah, anyways, enough of my illness.
It's been a weird time, though, like, still, like, on that wave, because I've had another friend who tested positive, but had no symptoms whatsoever.
Oh, my God.
So it's just, like, sick people are testing negative, and, like, negative-seeming people are testing positive. Like, it's a little upside down right now, and everybody should just wear a mask, you know? I was just in Texas, and I know you guys don't like them. You guys really don't like masks.
Oh, so can we talk about you coming to Texas? Like, what was the culture shock? Because I know it's different.
I mean, just mostly the mask thing. Like, I think I was the only one wearing it everywhere that I went. Yeah, finding out just, like, a significant amount of my family members, like, just don't want to get vaccinated. I'm like, okay, well, none of y'all graduated from college, and now I know why.
The slander.
You know, it's just, you know, there was a little bit of correlation there. Went to college, probably vaxxed, you know, and didn't, probably not. Not to shame anybody, but just in my family, anyways. Yeah, it was a lot. It was intense. It was a little upsetting. Bit scary, like, wearing a mask around, you know, your own dad, because, like, you don't want to kill him. Whatever. I'm here. I'm back here where everybody wears masks and they look at me funny when I'm outside, really social distance, not wearing a mask. I'm the weirdo.
Wait, what? Even outside? Like, that's the one time I take off my mask is outside. Well, not really. If there's a lot of people, I put it on. But if there's no one near me, like within 12 feet or 6 feet, I'm taking off my mask outside.
Yeah, see, like here, I've been going on, you know, that new TikTok trend where it's like me going on my stupid mental health walk.
Oh, yes, ironically.
Yeah. So I've been going on my stupid mental health walks, and a lot of people are masked up. I saw this lady who had walking sticks, one of those full, like, huge guards that like goes all around your face, plus a mask underneath and glasses underneath. And still with social distancing, like the most hardcore, and we were outside, like on the sidewalk.
Wow.
So yeah, people out here are afraid, rightfully so, and very careful, and I love them for that.
Yeah, no, here I'm literally the only one wearing a mask all the time, and people are looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm
Yeah.
just like, and I've been telling you, I'm like, it's so crazy to walk into an office space, like a place that you forced to be with, and you know these people got like small children, and like no one wears a mask. And I'm just like, are you serious? Like, y'all have actual children. I don't. I ain't got no kids. Like,
Yeah.
and I still wear a mask. And I'm just like, what the hell?
Think I
It's.
like accidentally pressured like the people that I was around who were not wearing masks normally. I think like my wearing a mask just made them put them back into like fight or flight mode a little bit, and like they started putting it on just like as a habit because they saw me do it, like they're mirroring me.
That's so good.
It's
That's.
hilarious, yeah, because like I'd be out and I would put it on because I was like, I'm not gonna force anybody to wear a mask, but I'm gonna wear one. And then, yeah, slowly my brother, my sister, whoever, like anybody was around me started wearing masks. It was hilarious.
Wow, look at you. Look at your influence. Look at your
I'm a
power.
COVID influencer. Have you ever heard of that? No? Wow.
No, well. Oh man, dude. I just gonna say I'm like happy we're recording again, 'cause like it's been a minute and
Yeah.
I feel like a person again though. Like it's nice. Like I'm like,
Time
is
moves
this what
slower for you.
human? Well, yeah, because I had like a week off, like a week and a half off, and then I was sick, so I haven't been in the office since last year still. So I
Nice.
feel, is this what it feels like to be a person? Like, I think this is the happiest I've
Capitalism does a number. Yeah.
If, oof, yeah, I'm like, wow, like, look, this is so nice. Like, I'm a person. I'm in the real world, and what a concept, you know? And I'm still a lot on TikTok, but I'm like slowly like. If I'm not at work, I'm not on TikTok. Like, I'm trying to do that, where like I'm trying to pull away from all of that because I find I'm happier when I'm not on like any kind of social media.
Yeah,
So.
my morning hour of TikTok has turned into reading. So yeah, similar vibes, and it's been nice. It's been pretty nice. I didn't do it this morning. This morning I got up and I immediately like Radio Mena is coming back this week. Spoiler alert! But I woke up and I edited their podcast. Have I mentioned that here? I'm the editor for Radio Mena.
Okay, Flex. Yeah, I don't think you've mentioned it here. We talked about
All
bringing it
off
in the
air.
conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the first thing I did this morning because I was excited. I'm so glad that they're back. I love their podcast. So I haven't read
Yeah. Shout
yet.
out to them forever because they're honestly like
Wonderful
one of the
people.
first podcasts we listen to in general. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Go check them out if you haven't already. But yeah, so any resolutions, any shows, anything?
Oh my God. Well, I don't make resolutions, but like I think I'm like taking a step away from drinking, and it's like making me, I see things clearer.
Happier?
Like for me.
Yeah. I've
For me.
also,
No, I'm
yeah,
not
same.
saying, you know, anyone else. You too?
Yeah, well, I'm doing a 75 no drinking thing. Yeah, 75
Oh
days.
wow. That's awesome. Yeah, I think I'm like, I don't know. I just feel different, and it's for my like. I actually need to do it. You know why? I need to change my lifestyle, and so, yeah, it's been nice. All I have to say is like, I think last year I went like 2 months without it, and I'm like, okay, holiday's over. Because the few times I drank around the holiday, and I'm like, whoa, I'm never doing that. Like, I don't think I can.
Makes you
This
feel
isn't
like
me.
shit.
Yeah, like I get like I me obviously for health reasons, but like. I don't get it anymore, and I'm happy to be a designated driver for the rest of my life if I have to. Like, I'm finally there, and I'm really proud of myself. So that's a little side personal note. But what about you?
That's
Other than that.
dope. Just like it's just a bunch of habits that I'm trying to form, which is reading every day, walking every day. not drinking, like probably not forever, but for now. And yeah, I'm just trying to start writing more and drinking more water. Just a bunch of like little things, right? Like it's not like fly to the moon, you know, it's just like read some more.
Yeah, like there are these small attainable habits. So it's like, okay, this is just, I can like not drink anymore, right? Like I can, you know, touch some grass on occasion. Dude, touching some grass and seeing some sun and moving your legs is like small, like heavenly thing you can give yourself every day. So I have a dog, so we are out there, and it's the small joys in life is like, wow, the sun's out, how cute, you know, like
yeah, all that bullshit. Also all doing very toxic shit. Things like obsessing over Euphoria.
Oh no. Euphoria is back, y'all, if y'all didn't know. It's on HBO Max. Are you okay after that? No. First that that ending.
I was not expecting it, but funnily enough, we had like a little mini watch party thing, like just amongst neighbors here, and yeah, they kind of semi predicted the ending, and I was like, no, nothing's gonna happen,
and bam,
and then bam. And then bam, bam, bam.
Bam, yeah, bam, bam, bam. And then like five more bams, because honestly, that was lit.
It was iconic. It was great. They switched to film, which my little brain was overwhelmed by. And the color scheme changed. You know what I mean? Like they made they made strides. You can already see that the sophomore slump will be averted. Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for every Sunday. And I was already ready for Sunday, so I've been watching Yellow Jackets and Dexter. So...
Can we talk about Yellow Jackets? Did I text you about that? I don't think I did. Did I send you a clip? I think I said no. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Me neither. But I haven't caught up on the last episode. But overall, y'all, I think we should talk about it. I think we should talk about it. I think like it should be an episode.
Possibly. Yeah.
Y'all need to watch that shit.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets, fantastic. This, you don't want to know what I really want to know, and I want to vote from the audience as well. Should we like talk, and I mean like talk, like cover Rebelde, the remake?
Yo, what? We're gonna, okay, y'all better say yes, okay? Because
put a poll on Instagram or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we should
Twitter,
start.
Maybe both.
We'll make like a poll.
Poll on on let's say Friday.
Friday. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my god, y'all better say yes, because I want to fucking like I want to spaz out, because like
why was it like so much better than expected?
I told you.
Low expectations make great outcomes, I think.
Honestly, like when you look back at the old one and then you realize what you're watching, like
sure, but like, you know, it's 2004. Like, it's not like TV was in its golden era yet. Like, no. It was quite literally struggle busting.
Trash. But it was so good. So y'all don't understand.
Drama,
like,
yeah.
Like, the actual novelaness of, like, old Rebelde does not compare. Like, that was, like, the golden age of, like, people slapping and yelling at each other. And it was actually really funny. Like,
yeah. It was, like, the drama, like, the characters were, like, camp without trying. To be camp,
exactly. And I tried to explain it to someone that didn't know what Rebelde was, and I was like, no, they were like if One Tree Hill started a K-pop band and became an international global hit, and like, and I was just like, you don't understand, like you couldn't even get near them, like you couldn't, like I remember they came to Walmart and they closed all
fucking
the streets.
Cockrell Hill Walmart. Yeah.
Yes. Did you try to go too? I tried to go.
I couldn't even convince my mom to get close to it, so no.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But yeah, okay, well we'll find out if people want to hear about that. Other than that, I think I've been rewatching Ted Lasso, because
wonderful show. Wonderful,
it's a
show,
very wholesome, very like just like fills your heart up type of shit, you know what I mean? And that's good energy for the new year, I think. Yeah.
Positive energy, yeah. Like, everyone needs it.
And, like, I've been reminded how much their second season is about mental health, which is lovely. Very lovely, especially in a show like that. So, so underrated. Go check it out. It's on Apple TV. As is one of the things that we're going to be covering today that is also kind of wholesome.
Yeah. It really is, though. Yeah. It makes you... I like the positive shit that they're making, also the chaotic shit that they're making on Apple TV. Mm-hmm.
Miss Emily Dickinson.
That was nuts. I have not even watched it. I think I only watched like clips on TikTok.
Oh my god, just watch it. It's good.
No, I know it is. I'm just not prepared. I'm not ready to jump into that right now, but I will.
It's officially over, though. All the three seasons were it.
It's only three seasons?
Yeah, three seasons, and it's officially, like, ended. Like, there won't be any more of it.
Damn. Okay, no, I really need to watch it then.
A little bit, yeah.
just finish, yeah.
Just a little bit. Let's get started. Today I'm going to be talking about Acapulco, and you are going to be talking about
Encanto. I won't sing it ever again.
No, that's fine. I'm laughing because of that TikTok again. I've referenced it before. It's like where they ask the little girl if she likes tequila, and she says, "A mí no me gusta, a mí me encanta."
Me encanta. And if y'all want to know that TikTok is in the links of that episode that it was mentioned.
It might have just been the last episode we did. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But that's hilarious. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. And now I know.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Shall we do this?
Yeah, let's get into it. I'm excited.
Dope. Well, why don't we start with Acapulco? Because technically it came out first. So Acapulco, as I've already mentioned, is on Apple. It's a bilingual series starring Eugenio Derbez, but we're gonna forgive that. Apparently it's inspired by How to Be a Latin Lover, which I would have never guessed because, well, I haven't seen it, but from what I know about it, it doesn't give me much of that vibe at all. But I mean, I guess it has Eugenio Derbez. That's the connection. So the series follows Máximo Gallardo, who's basically telling his own story in the style of like How I Met Your Mother, where the older version of him, older Máximo, is played by Derbez. He's now so wealthy that he has an all-white butler, which he says on the show. He made him get a DNA test, which is kind of weird. He's telling his nephew, a young teenager, about how he got his start at a hotel in Acapulco. And it's pretty early on in this, like, I mean, considering this butler comment that they're trying to flip the script on things, right? You know, like, in particular, the fact that usually Latinx characters are the butt of the joke or the comedic relief in a way that kind of turns them into these, like, caricatures. Like, think of Gloria in Modern Family, which I know is supposed to be a satire, but let's be real. Like, they still did it. Or any of the best characters in any shows in white media.
You're like him every time.
Him every single time. So in Acapulco, it's the clueless and money-hungry white Americans who kind of come off as silly and, like, caricatures themselves, right? They're the ones that get the script flipped on them or whatever, but the Mexicans are the ones who have the complex stories and complex identities. And I mean, you know, not that the Mexican characters aren't also very interested in making money or that they're not funny, because they are, but that's why they're there, right? They're in this like huge hotel where young Máximo, who's very charismatic, very positive, kind of like, you know, Ted Lasso style, like very ready to just get shit done. He gets himself a job at Las Colinas, that's what it's called, a place that is simultaneously has a representation for bringing, you know, wealth and success to, like, an ambitious person. Also has a reputation of exposing them to a very, like, sinful and greedy lifestyle, aka all of the guests. So,
capitalism.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, Máximo's morality is tested starting day one. That's what a lot of the show is kind of about, is like him like fighting to still be a good person and still be himself amongst capitalism, essentially. So Yeah, and there's a lot going on in this dramedy. Like, Maximo meets the woman of his dreams, Memo, his best friend, who's constantly beautifully breaking gender norms. He's always there for him, and eventually has his own love story. Maximo's very religious mother deals with her declining vision and starts to date. Like, but like, okay, a lot of stuff happens, but really, we, and I mean me, we're here for the sister in this story.
Me too.
We in CYC. His sister, Sara, is a anti-capitalist, like, rock-loving, like, just like social justice warrior, like, type of badass, right? Like, your typical hippie, like, chick or whatever, who, like, hates everything and smokes cigarettes because she thinks it's cool. So, as most sitcoms or like half-hour comedies do, they're like, it has an issue of the episode style. So one of my favorites of the series is about a closeted celebrity, very like reminiscent of Ricky Martin or Juanga, like level type of star, who goes to Las Colinas for privacy with a loved one. And this is presumably Maximo's first time meeting and maybe like empathizing with like a queer person that he knows of. And this is after he tries to be like super macho and like defend the girl that he likes from hanging out with him because like he doesn't know any better. And her rightfully
He
being
feels
like,
threatened.
yeah, and her being like, I'm an adult, I can handle myself, chill the fuck out. So that was really cool. It was like a double whammy in that one. But anyway, let's get a little spoilery here. All right. But this is why we're really here. This is why we're covering the show. Like, you expected this, right?
Yes.
Lesbians. So so this like lesson of queerness for Maximo comes just in time for him to realize some things about his sister and her relationship with her friend, right? Which like this relationship's adorable. It was pretty brilliantly portrayed, like from like the slow, awkward kind of realization that there's feelings, you know, like which is like, oh, I just really want to spend time with you. Like that's all it is. Like, no, it's not just that. To sneaking around.
It's gay.
It's gay. The sneaking around because like Mexican moms have a crazy sixth sense. I don't know how many like Mexican moms you've gone like behind their back with like, their daughters, but in my experience, like they always know.
They know. They just they're just like, no, I don't, they're in denial.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, like some sort of, it's weird. But to and also get to like outward lies, right, that come with being, sometimes come with being a teenager, but almost always come with being a queer teenager. And luckily Maximo is very family oriented and he gets in on all the hijinks with his sisters with this because she needs support, right? Like it's like it's weird to think about, like because all they're fighting for is to be able to spend time together and to do really basic shit together, like go to a dance. But like it's difficult. It's like because this is what, like the 70s, the 80s in
Yeah, I think
Mexico.
it's
I think it's the
the
80s in Mexico. Yeah, it's not an easy time.
eighties, yeah.
So yeah, we get to see all of that, and it's really nice. Also nice to see the older version of her, kind of like more well-adjusted and like, you know, finding out all, you know, the things turned out all right, presumably. But another episode that really impressed me. Do you remember the one where the guest, the like white girl, takes an interest in Maximo and vice versa?
Yeah, that
That one was interesting because he's warned really early on by Don Pablo, who is like the manager. He's telling him like the guest always gets what the guest wants, but like remember, they're the guest, we're the help. Like you might feel like there's a distinction. That there's not a distinction, but there is, like, you know, like then they always know, and even when you forget. So that
You'll
advice doesn't,
remind you.
yeah, that advice doesn't really sink in until she's leaving from what she sees as like a vacation fling, right? And he's in having to like go through a more emotional process of having to let go of something he thought was real. But like,
Yeah.
you know, even to, I think like the audience, even for me, I was like, you know, it seemed real. It seemed like there was a connection there. It seemed like there was a vibe, and like that there wasn't going to be this like class disparity, this distinction. But there is. There always is, and it's super sad. But yeah. So I think that episode was very like very powerful in that way, and in a way that I think obviously nobody's talking about the show, quite honestly, like no one is talking about it, so no one's gonna probably have like talked about how much of an impact that makes. But it was impactful for me as a person that like grew up like seeing those kinds of people like not push me aside, but like look at me a certain way, right?
Yeah, because like we are, both of our moms were like domestic workers, so like we have a very inside look to how they even treat our parents, to how they treat us, and it's right there, and it's not something I mean, it's a hard thing to describe, and I think Acapulco, like you said, is bringing light to that feeling and what it actually does to people. So I think it's really interesting that they chose to highlight workers. I really like that. So
right.
Are your nails pink? That's so mine are green. Hi.
Really? Hello. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nice. We're in our
breaking gender norms.
Yeah, I know. We paint our nails.
Topic.
Sorry.
That's funny. It's a hard thing to describe, but that episode did it really well, because there was times when like I would hang out with these kids because it was summertime, and it was just it felt so normal. It felt like there was no like distinction. And then like at the end of the day, that's when it hits you, you know, like we're not friends. It's not like that.
It's nope. You were just like a plaything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's literally that's what he was. And yeah, that's what he was to her, you know. And ooh, like this show is like, I feel as much about anything as capitalism. Like the entire show is like about what someone's willing to do.
Imagine if Parasite was a comedy. More of
a comedy. There we go. I mean, yeah. Like a Mexican comedy. And
Mexican telenovela style dramedy.
Yeah. And I mean, it works. Like, it's such a, like, it took me off guard. Like, I didn't think I was going to like the show. You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot.
Same.
But when I started watching it, I was like, I'm not going to stop. This is amazing. Like, and then, you know, Surprise Gay. I love Surprise Gay. Surprise Gay is my favorite gay.
Yeah. I don't want to know ahead of time.
No, I didn't want it to be so obvious, you know? Like, I thought it, but I was like, is it gay? I don't know. And I was like, where's the queerness here that Maitha was talking about? And it took me off guard for once, so.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Shout out to Liz Perez from Functional, who put me onto this show. And I was like,
shout out.
I like it. But killed the game. Shout out, yeah.
No, they did so good. I don't know what else I noticed in the, I like the second episode, I think which one was it? No, it was the
what
second was episode with the marriage, where he had to like figure out like a wedding for Lolo.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was so sweet.
Yeah, round two of testing his morality, where he's trying to like, they're teaching him the art of the upsell and basically how to screw over rich people, and he doesn't realize he's like screwing over a not rich person. Yeah.
Yeah, and then because I mean he's new to the game, he doesn't know who he's actually scamming out here.
Yeah,
and not even scamming is an art, it's like, I guess.
Providing a service
that providing a service that they don't need.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I really like that. Just because I mean it made me feel like a person. I was like, oh wow, like this show has a heart, and it's just like Ted Lasso in that way. It has a lot of heart, and I don't know. Do we know if it's getting renewed?
I don't know yet, because like I said, no one's talking about it. It's not really being watched.
Damn.
And it sucks. Yeah, it sucks. But you never know. Maybe it will. It's filmed in Mexico. I'm sure their budget's a little lower because of that. So maybe.
That's hopefully. True.
Apple TV hasn't been doing shows for very long, right? It's relatively new streaming service. So maybe they have the budget, maybe they're like not ready to give up on their shows yet, like I don't know, maybe they'll step up, because look at Dickinson, also not the most talked about show, and All Morning Show is very talked about.
Very talked about.
Trying to think about what other seasons, but hopefully.
I think they're doing a lot of interesting stuff, and I think people just aren't used to using Apple TV.
Relatively cheaper streaming service though, like $5 a month.
Yeah, it's not bad. So I'm just kind of like, most people have iPhones anyways, so it's like,
yeah,
take it one step further. It's not even one step further, you know? Like, you already have Apple Music. Just get Apple TV. I don't know. I strictly got it for Dickinson and my gay ass.
Yeah.
But it's been worth it. So I don't know, hopefully people watch this show. Like, do you have a rating for it, or are you still want to discuss something about it?
No, we can totally move on to ratings. I really liked it. I just really, really like this show. I can't really think of any like big negatives or anything. I mean, I enjoyed it really well. I don't think there's any cafecitos, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I'm sure there is a problem with it somewhere in there, but
for sure.
But I'm not currently thinking of it or seeing it. So good on them. Obviously, I don't know. I think that was like a decent amount of drama surrounding him. We're not gonna get into it because I don't have time for it. But
cool. I didn't know. So
yeah, there you go. You guys do your own due diligence. I like the show and I think it's doing good stuff. So go watch it.
Cool. I'm hyped. I liked it. You know, I give it like, I don't know, I can't find anything wrong with it. Like, five panduses. Like, can't believe I'm rating something that high.
Because it's not
that
like,
good.
Yeah. Because I'm
charming.
Not, it's not like Ted Lasso. Happy. I'll say that. Like, it's not like, it does also doesn't have that much time under its, like, wing, right? Like, I don't know. I just think that it's good so far.
I think both shows are doing something, like, very different. So it's not Ted Lasso, but like it's doing its own thing.
But Ted Lasso's still also not doing what Acapulco's doing, right? So it's like,
no,
I don't know.
It's never talking about capitalism on that end, not to the extent that it is.
Not it is a little bit,
so
but not
ingrained
to that extent. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. Okay, well, let's move on to No Me Gusta, Me Encanta,
Me Encanta. Man, shout out to that little girl. That's funny as fuck. So I'm gonna be covering Encanto. It came out this year, if you don't know, if you haven't noticed. Well, no, and not this year. What year is this? Wrong year, right?
2021, I guess.
Wow, okay. I don't know what year it is, y'all. Anyways, so fun thing about this, Encanto has a co-director of Charisse Castro Smith. So shout out to that. Like, it is also directed by Jared Bush and Byron Howard. I just wanted to point that out, that at least she's on there, you know, like shout out to, you know,
to Charisse.
Charisse, we see you, girl. She also wrote it. So okay,
that's dope. Flex. I mean, actually kind of makes sense, like if you think about the subject matter.
Look,
yeah,
that whoever wrote it, Charisse wrote it, she knows what the fuck she's talking about.
She sure fucking does,
because from experience. Wow. We went there on a Pixar movie, y'all. A Pixar movie. But anyways, I'm going to talk about the cast really quick before I get into it, because it's just a lot of big fucking names in this. Stephanie Beatriz plays the lead character, Mirabel.
Yeah.
So shout out to her. This is a big move to me. I think this is a big deal, because everybody is watching Encanto.
She's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, for those of you who don't know, and she's openly queer, so...
Yeah, it's fucking badass. John Leguizamo plays Bruno.
Really? I didn't know that. That's...
Boo.
that's a thing, I guess. I don't know.
It's a thing.
Don't talk about Bruno.
And look, I see why we don't. And we
know I get why we don't talk about him.
Exactly. That's why we don't talk about Bruno. Diane Guerrero plays Isabella.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's actually Colombian, isn't she? So that's...
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense too, because that's a pretty girl, you know what I mean?
yeah, slight, yeah.
I wish everybody could see the face that you made when I said that. You're like, yeah.
Of course, as she lives and breathes, like that woman. Anyways, Wilmer Valderrama plays Agustin.
Oh, I guess, okay.
So but guess what? Renzi Feliz from Runaways plays Camilo.
Dope. I love him.
I love him too. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm noticing all these names. You go, okay, I really care about this because I like who Disney is like casting, because they're trying to get as many Latinos in there as possible, which is like a new thing. I know y'all aren't used to that, or I'm not used to it either, but like Latinos played by Latinos, like
it's a concept. Yeah.
A concept. Like, let's let it keep happening.
Yeah.
It was composed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who also, we don't talk about him either.
We don't talk about Lini.
I mean, he's talented, though. Yeah. Like, I give him all that talent.
Yeah.
That man is talented, right. But damn, sometimes. Okay, anyways, let's talk about the movie. It's about the family Madrigal, who live in this, like, magical, guarded-off town in Colombia. I'm not really sure when it takes place. Maybe, like, it looks like the 1910s, 1915, before, like, modern electricity.
Before cars.
Before cars. So,
like, maybe late 1800s, even? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, maybe the late 1800s. It's before cars are, like, a thing. It's still horses. And they live in this magical house with this magical candle, and everyone in the family has a special power, except our lead character, Mirabel, played by Stephanie
Bush. Isn't it Maribel?
No, it's Mirabel.
It's Mirabel, really?
I know, because my cousin's name. Anyways.
Mirabel. Interesting.
It's Mirabel. Because, you know, Madrigal. Milagro. Mirabel. You know, okay, look, I've been watching my TikToks. Everyone but her has a magical power. And we meet the family on the day that Antonio is set to get his power. No one really knows what magical gift they're going to get given. Until they touch the candle, or
until they open up a portal that turns into their bedroom or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So they walk up the stairs and they touch the candle with their abuela, and they touch a door, and that's when they find out what power they get. And he finds out he can talk to animals, or they can talk to him. I don't know.
He communicates with animals.
He communicates with all animals. He's like, you know, Jim Carrey pet detective. As a child, it's
Dr.
great.
Dr. Doolittle,
you know, he's out here. So that's really cool. But while everyone else is having a good ass time, Mirabel is reminded of the generational trauma of her not receiving a gift and how her entire family starts to treat her because she is like the other. You know, she feels kind of excluded because she didn't get a gift. I mean, who wouldn't? And this is when she finds out that the house is falling apart. This magical house held up by magic is literally, you know, the foundation is cracking. You know,
it's the metaphorical cracks in the family's foundation.
Ooh, okay. I see you. Okay. See, that's why you write. Okay. That was beautiful. that made more sense than what I was just blabbering out. But I love it. You know, like if you can't see it, you know, it's very obvious about the cracks in the foundation in their family. So I think it's this is when Mirabel, you kind of get into see what her trauma is. You get to find out that this character, this youngest daughter. She's the youngest daughter. Antonio's the youngest, but you find out what her insecurities are and what her role is in the family. She's always helping the abuela, helping her mom. Everyone in the family is supposed to help others, but she's the only one helping them. And that's when you're like, oh, wait, she's their family therapist. She's the one that's gonna, you know, fix everything. As per usual, it's her fixing them. But anyways, so the rest of the movie, you are on a journey with Mirabel as she heals the family trauma in like 2 hours.
and is actively rejected. Like the way that her help is actively rejected and she's treated this way by her family, and yet she goes around like also with a positive attitude. Today's like a positive mm-hmm. attitude lead character day mm-hmm. because she goes around and she's like, I love this family, like just absolutely adores them and tells their story and like wants to help so much, and they're just like, no, you can't, you don't have powers, you know.
Yeah, they're like, how could you understand, you're different from us. And you see her as she tries to help her sister Luisa, who is the strongest in her family. She is like Hercules, and I love that she's like giving me butch like gayness. Like, I don't see her with no man. She's just worried about lifting things, helping the city, picking up churches. But we soon find out that she's losing her power. She's no longer able to carry all the heavy things. And I mean, if that isn't a metaphor, literally everything in this movie is like, it's all there, y'all. Yeah. Like, you gotta try not to see it. Isabella is the magical oldest daughter who keeps everything perfect. She's perfect. She's like this beautiful character who's going to get married to this beautiful dude. and they're gonna like be perfect together. But in reality,
she makes flowers.
She makes flowers. That's her very special gift.
But not the flowers she wants to make. You know what I mean? Like,
hell no. She wants to make cactuses.
She wants to make
cacti.
If that's not gay, I don't know what is.
But yes,
a succulent. Okay.
Yeah, like, come on. You didn't want to make any more little cute flowers. She wanted to make succulents. And you find out she doesn't want to get married either. She doesn't want, you know, she wants to live her life and be free. And that's, like, the gayest thing. Like, a woman running from, like, a man. Like we said earlier, you know, that's the gayest thing on earth. And so I stan Isabella. I don't care. Like, I don't care if I know Mirabel doesn't like her or they beefing, you know, but she's awesome. And I love this character so much. And then there's her cousin Dolores, who can hear everything all the time. So everything's really loud for her. I can't imagine that.
I love
hearing everything and living in a house with all those people. I wouldn't want to hear anything,
that would
actually
suck.
Yeah,
but they also
would be like,
they meet a character for the chismosas of the family, and I love that to them. Like, we all have one.
She's most of representation.
Matters, you know what I mean? Like,
but yeah, so, I mean, I don't want to get into everybody because everybody got a power and, like, everybody in the house kind of problematic. What I did really like about the movie and the characters is every character feels, like, fully realized, fully complicated. I think they could have explored characters more, obviously, because, you know me, I'm more of a side character ho. Like, I love, you know, Luisa. I want to know more. Tell me everything about, you know, her room. I saw some, like, stuff that said deleted scenes of where her room was supposed to be, like, all, like, stone. And then she has, like, a secret door into, like, an amusement park. So she's secretly fun.
She's, like, so trying to heal her inner child.
Yeah. She's healing her inner child, like, secretly on the low. And that's really beautiful. But, you know, the music itself was really good. Shout out to Lin-Manuel. Don't Talk About Bruno is like a bop in English and in Spanish. I'll have you know, I watched this whole shit in Spanish in the line to get COVID tested.
I believe you. And also, how were the accents?
I'm not Colombian, so I'm going to say they had great accents, and
I feel like that would be really hard to pull off for a non-Colombian, you know? They have such a specific accent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very sing-songy. It has, like, its own little, like, rhythm. It has a rhythm. That's how like, Latinx people tell each other apart. Like, okay, well, what, you know, song and dance are they doing over there? Like, how does it sound?
And do you pronounce your S's or not?
Oh, yeah. Vosotros. Vos.
Yeah. Is it vos or is it nosotros? Or is it, yeah, like.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the accents were great. They spoke in, like, it didn't sound like Mexican Spanish, so, you know,
okay,
shout out
enough
to Disney. But, yeah, and, okay, my only criticisms are that, like, I felt like it got wrapped up way too neatly, way too quickly, even though the movie isn't that short. Some characters need to be explored more. Disney does what it does, and it kind of, like, resolves everything quickly. Or it felt like a lot of exposition and, like, not enough ending. Like, it ended very quickly for me. Like, everything wrapped up very neatly, very quickly. And I felt like her journey, although, you know, you're kind of, like, lost, it didn't feel like there were any real, like, what is it called?
You didn't get closure.
No, I didn't get closure. Also, I felt like it just wrapped up too neatly for me. That's all. And the Bruno issue getting resolved that way seemed quick. And for it to be about such heavy generational trauma. And I get it. It's for children. And it's also a Disney movie. It's Pixar. What can I expect? But it just felt too quick. And I felt like a lot of people, maybe the message didn't exactly hit for them. But that's fine. That's also therapy. But I felt like the people who needed to understand it, which were Latinx femme presenting people, I felt like they felt seen, you know? And Representation does matter. Like, there was a lot of, like, people posting pictures side by side with Mirabel or Antonio or any of the characters saying, like, wow, look, I am exactly that. And that was really cute. And I really thought that that kind of gave every... It's giving people something to be happy about right now, which is, like, I'm super into that. Like, I'm super into people just being happy and having joy now. So I think that within itself is really powerful and good. But I don't know. What do you... I have my criticisms of it. But at the same time, I have to look at the whole. Maybe it's not something I'll watch again other than for, you know, some of the songs. But it worked for me and then it didn't, you know? It kept my attention.
But it's like... If you think back, I guess the way that I viewed it, I guess kind of knowing ahead of it what I was getting into, mm-hmm. you know, there's going to be this matriarch, abuela, who doesn't realize how much damage she's causing because of her generational trauma that she experienced, that she's then projecting onto the rest of her family. The abuela story, I think, was, like, very powerful in that way. Like, you had to, like, really let that hit, like, the way that, like, yeah, basically a part of it was like realizing what the issue was there. And it was almost like Mirabel was going to every person and waking them up. You know, like Luisa falling apart, doesn't realize it until Mirabel comes along. Bruno doesn't realize that he needs to come back until Mirabel, so like kind of makes him realize that. Like, that's what she's going around. She's going around turning on a light bulb for everybody. And I guess maybe for that reason, I didn't mind the ending as much, even though I do agree that it was quick. It was just kind of like the last person whose light switch needed to be turned on was Abuela's. And then when it did, it was like, it was fast, but it was also like, you know, that's what Mirabel was going to do. Like, that's what she was meant to do.
That was her prophecy or whatever, you know? Yeah. So that she found out. I mean, to me, maybe there wasn't as much conflict or it didn't feel like... Like, I knew everything was going to get resolved, so that kind of, like, I don't know.
It's the beauty of children's
stuff. Yeah, is, like, it's a children's movie. They're not going to kill off the lead or anything. Like,
yeah.
Well. But it was cute. I really liked it, and I don't know if I'll watch it again, honestly. Maybe it's grown on me because I saw it in Spanish, and I really liked it in Spanish, too. So maybe it is something I will watch again because it's cute, but I don't know. I'm still, like, my own personal thing with it is just like, oh, that's too real. Like,
it's a lot. It's pretty heavy. Like, all of the characters are literally just dealing with trauma in a way that, like, we don't see very often. Especially, like, we have to think about it in the context of, like, how big of a movie this is and how much audience this is reaching. And how unapologetically and specifically Latinx it is, right? It's not like this vague culture that, like, belongs to all of Latin America. It's like Colombian culture, this one family, and these specific traumas. And that specificity is really important. And I don't know. I think it's going to be, like, really good overall for Latinx representation. And, like, it's hiring a lot of Latinos who are then going to go on to be able to do more shit. And that's going to be great. I don't know.
Another really cool thing is the actual diversity they had. They had, like, black men and women. Yeah, Afro-Latinos. Like, that was lit to me. I was like, finally, like, something, like, a real look. Because it's not, you know, it's not whatever telenovelas have been feeding American media or Western media this whole time. Where it's just,
Shout out to Rebelde.
God damn. But they actually mixed it up. And I really, like, it's small things like that. Like, people seeing themselves and people being happy and being unified. And it's a beautiful thing. That's very cool. I know I don't usually feel this way about, you know, Mickey Mouse. Like, fuck him. But, like, fuck them. But, you know, but at the same time, like, it's such a step away from, like, Emperor's New Groove or, like, I don't know, everything else they've ever done. Like, at least these people of color get to stay, like, people of color. They don't turn into, like, rabbits and bunnies and llamas and start talking.
For real?
Or frogs.
Yeah.
They don't turn into, like, animals. And I really like that. Like, no, there were animals involved.
There was a shapeshifter, but it was, you know, he had a normal shape. And yeah.
Yeah, that's different. But, like, that was, but, you know, these are, like, the kind of steps and kind of things we've needed for forever. And I really like what it's doing, honestly. You know, I appreciate what it's doing, even if, you know, I didn't think the same as other people on it. But that's not going to take away from my score, right? Like, the score is what it is. But, like, me personally, I don't know if I'll rewatch it anytime soon. But it's cute. I loved it. Maybe I liked Luca more. I don't know.
Really?
Hot take. Hot take. I mean, because it's gay. I don't know. You're right. Yeah. I'm biased. But I honestly, I want to give it 5 panduzas. It deserves that. It's a powerful little movie, and I hope Pixar continues to make movies like this, go in this direction. They're doing something right over there, and if that means they have to hire Lin-Manuel Miranda again, fine. He can write a song, you know. I wasn't a fan of his other work, but this is nice. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's great. And I, you know, when I watched it, which I will admit I only watched it because we were going to do this episode.
Oh, wow.
I was, you know, pleasantly surprised. I didn't, like, feel like I was, once it was on, I didn't feel like I was forcing myself to do it, you know? I was, like, enjoying it. I was paying attention and I was invested. So, yeah, no castitos on my end. I think it did quite wonderfully. The voice actors, the songs were fucking bops. Like, yeah, it was great. And I'm really, really excited that it's reaching so far. Like, you know, like all Disney and Pixar movies tend to do. Like, this isn't like some sort of side thing that gets brushed away like we usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. This is sticking and people are really, really enjoying it. And
relating.
Relating. The relatability. Boundaries. And then the fact that they centered like a little Latinx, like, person, like a little Latinx girl, like, that's pretty cool to me. That's new, you know, so I fuck with it. So yeah, 5 panduzas, y'all. Like, go watch this shit, or don't. I do whatever you want.
So
live your life, but we liked it. It was, you know, didn't take anything from my life. It made it better. So
yeah,
5 stars. 5 panduzas, my bad. Stars.
Get you going. 5 estrellas. 5 encantos.
And speaking of 5 stars, y'all, guess what y'all can now do? Y'all can go to Spotify.
My Spotify faves. Yeah.
Yes.
Go rate us 5 estrellas, bro. Like, you can do it. As long as you listen to us on there, you can do it. But if you don't listen to us on there, then you can, like, start an episode and then do it.
Yeah. Like, just play us a little and then hit 5 stars.
Yeah.
And only 5 stars. We don't accept 4 over here.
Yeah.
Who's 4? I don't know that bitch. Who's 4? Yeah. We are 5.
Mm-hmm. And if you listen to on iTunes, then leave a review and a 5 stars on there. That'll help. Please. That'll do some good stuff. Yeah.
That will do some good stuff, y'all, to help us in the future.
Do stuff.
Yeah. But
all right. Why don't you get us started with your team?
And we want to give a little shout out to our Patreon people. I love y'all. You're the best. Always been the best. Shout out to Mercedes. It's a fancy car, and that's your name. So shout out to Mercedes. Shout out to you. Shout out to Joe. What's good? Love you, Joe. Thank you for being a Patreon person. Shout out to Marisa. Shout out to Valerie. What's good? Shout out to R, favorite Libra. Shout out to Michelle. What's good? Rosaura, I see you. I see you all the time on Instagram, and you have looks. Shout out to our brother Veton. Shout out to the wife Glow. Love you. Shout out to Marimar. Shout out to Rasi. And if you don't know, you should get to know. Get yourself some Kepika candy. Go order that shit today. We love them forever. And we love candy. And get your rim dip on your alcohol. Get your candy. Get your chili pops. It's amazing. And go listen to the podcast. Shit you don't care about. Excuse me. And shout out to Chrissy. What's good? I see you out there in the cold. Hope you stay safe. Stay safe and stay warm. It's getting wild out here. But love y'all so much. Y'all are the best.
For sure. And shout out to Myron and Margarita. Shout out to Mr. Favi. I miss you very much. Shout out to Baby Chojo Negoro, Edith, Mireya, Chris, Noel, Alicia. I feel like you guys have been around for a while. You're sticking around, and I really appreciate about that you guys. Yeah, so if anybody wants to to sign up and show your support, please do at patreon.com/CYC podcast. It keeps this show running, which, you know, sometimes we struggle. We struggle a little bit, all right? We take little, like, hiatuses sometimes. And
we take breaks for our mental health, y'all. Yeah. We got to do it.
But, like, man, 2022 is coming back pretty strong, and there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of content, and I'm kind of hopeful that we're going to be able to do a lot of good stuff this in the next few months, at least, because there's so much stuff to talk about. Like,
damn. Yeah, there's still a lot we can... We just bantered on here that I want to talk about.
Yeah, so. We talked about giving you a little sneak preview today. But yeah, so hit us up, leave reviews, find us on Twitter and Instagram at CYC Podcast, and, you know, talk to us. We're always there.
Tell your mama, tell your sister, tell your friends. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
if you want to. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Love y'all. Be safe. Bye.
Bye.